Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Today's podcast is a fun one. It's the first of, I hope, a few and many with a very funny gentleman. Joining us today is Kenny Stevenson. Kenny, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great here in lovely Southern California, Los Angeles specifically. Is this the part where I'm going to introduce myself?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because people don't know who I am.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they don't know who I am. I'm a comedian down here in Los Angeles. You can hear me. I guess I'll just plug podcasts for the time being. You can often hear me on the Sklar Brothers podcast. Not Dumb People Town, but why am I blanking on their other one? View from the Cheap Seats?
View from the Cheap Seats.
Thank you. And I'm currently just dropped yesterday. I'm on Matt Besser's podcast, Improv for Humans, playing John Rambo. So
nice.
You know, so naturally, I'm somebody who should be talking about football.
Kenny's a comedian. He's also a Cal Poly alum. So
I should stress that too.
Yeah, that's an important part. He spent some time up here in San Luis Obispo and is a football fan. He likes him some football, and we're gonna talk some Cal Poly football this week. Cal Poly coming off a closer than it should have been 24-21 win over Southern Utah. The Mustangs got out to an early lead against Southern Utah with a field goal and a touchdown, and late in the game Southern Utah really made it a game. They scored a couple of touchdowns late in the game and then had a chance to tie the game with a field goal late that was missed by their kicker, who I think has missed like 6 out of 7 kicks this year. So that was kind of a rough way to end if you're a Southern Utah fan, but good for Cal Poly. And the Mustangs come out victorious with a 24-21 victory against a not great Southern Utah team. Kenny, I know you watched most of the game. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on the game itself first.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was able to watch the second half thanks to the good people at Pluto TV. And the thing that was weird when you were watching it on Pluto was that there was the injury to the starting quarterback, but that it wasn't never really announced. So they just put the backup in, and the whole time I was watching the game, I was like, why is this backup playing? Because they had 3 fumbles in the second half, so it seemed like the game was kind of being handed to Southern Utah.
Right.
And very almost nearly was, but then we learned later that, of course, there was an injury, and so that's why the backup was in. But it was definitely the kind of game where it was, we're up 17-3, and then stuff was, you could watch the, I'm losing my train of thought, guys. There's a lot going on. For those of you who don't know, I'm walking around my job. I work at Sony Pictures, and there is just a lot of business going on.
A lot happening out there.
Yeah, it's a movie studio. It was the kind of thing where it was just like it seemed like this game was going to be thrown away, and it was watching. When that field goal was missed, it was kind of like, oh, thank God. We're going to squeak this one out, because it just seemed like, well, okay, this is over.
Yeah, I think if Southern Utah makes that field goal, there's a good argument to be made that they win that game, whether it's in regulation or overtime in terms of...
Yeah, because they were, at that point, they were just in control, I feel. Yeah. They were able to do a lot more that they wanted to on offense, and then Cal Poly was going offensively.
Yeah.
So... And it's either working or it's not, because especially if you get to the point where you're behind, then you got to start throwing the ball more and the whole offense.
Yeah. So Kenny's cutting out a little bit as we talk about the game. You know, Cal Poly only had 333 yards of total offense, less than Southern Utah. They averaged 4.3 yards per play, which isn't great for them. Southern Utah did a decent job of shutting Cal Poly down, especially in the second half. And when you look at Cal Poly, you know, Jalen Hamler, like we know, he didn't play the last quarter or so against Southern Utah. And certainly Cal Poly will need him looking forward against the top 10 Montana State team, both of the Montana schools this week, in the top 10 for the first time in a little while. Two pretty proud programs and programs that neither one of them really likes to play against Cal Poly. You mentioned that triple option. Fans of those programs don't really, they get real uncomfortable when they start thinking about playing Cal Poly in that triple option, more uncomfortable than they get, I think, against a lot of other teams who might be at the caliber that Cal Poly seems to be at this season. Montana State coming in, what are your thoughts about the Bobcats, the other Montana school?
I've got so many thoughts. Can you hear me now better?
I can hear you now. Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, I was trying to get to a spot where there was less business going on, and I'm here now. Montana State, yeah, they are very highly ranked. They were down last week. They were down by 3 touchdowns and then came back to win by like 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, they came back and just smoked the team they played, yeah.
Yeah, they scored like 43 straight points. So, and I know all of this because I listened to a Montana State podcast.
awesome.
The R&R podcast. Let's give them a plug. Why not? Yeah. From my understanding is that Montana State is a very run heavy offense. And we are low in terms of the conference, where we're in the lower ranked defenses against the run in the conference. Yeah. So this game this weekend is extremely scary.
Yeah, it's definitely scary against a top 10 team. And you know, I think Cal Poly, it's really a put up or shut up game for the defense this week. I mm-hmm. feel like being able to stop the run. They had their defensive tackle who went down on the first play of the season, actually. This year, and Cal Poly's not super deep in the interior defensive line usually, so it didn't bode well for their ability to play the run and kind of stop up the middle. That said, their linebacker Matt Shotwell was back and feeling good last week. They got some linebackers back in terms of guys who missed either halves of football or games of football. So you know they're going to have to definitely be a team-oriented game. I'm looking for Kitu Humphrey to be a difference maker. He's a safety on Cal Poly. I look for him to really support the run defense and looking for the cornerbacks to be in man coverage. I would say if I had to guess, they're going to make Montana State throw the ball and try to go ahead and compete in man coverage on the outside would be a guess of mine, completely uneducated guess of mine, which are interestingly, well, most of what we're going to probably be spouting this entire, you know, 20 or 30 minutes here.
Yeah, I would say all of my guesses are going to be uneducated. But I will say, based on what all the other podcasts I listened to and a little bit of reading I've done as well, is that, yes, Montana State is going to try to run the ball predominantly. And if you can make their quarterback have to throw, there isn't a lot of confidence in that, at least from a lot of Montana State fans. He's only averaged like 112 yards a game, I think. Right. See, I read statistics. I think if Cal Poly can at least try to stop the run on the first couple downs and make them throw either at second or third down, there's a chance there. But the Montana State is looking to run the ball. I mean, they basically won. They came back from 3 touchdowns by just running. So, like, if that defense is on the field for a long time, it might end up being a long day. We'll see.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well,
you like that? Fantastic. Yeah. Have me on with just my optimistic homer take.
They got to do it. I mean, they have to stop the run for sure. Kenny, speaking of the run, we know Cal Poly runs the ball a lot. You were you were remarking on you know the option itself before we talked earlier mm-hmm. and kind of how that play looks, how that play feels as you're watching it, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts or descriptions of what you see as you see the triple option develop. Maybe it's a little bit different than quarterback Jalen Hamler.
Maybe it is. Yeah, this is like the casual football fan's interpretation of the triple option, as best as I understand it. So, my understanding, and as I think, how
this can't go wrong at all, right? This is sure to be gold right now.
This is going to go swimmingly. So, because I do have experience watching, because my family are all Notre Dame fans. So, and Notre Dame always plays the service academies. And like Georgia Tech usually, and like Navy always runs this triple option. So it's my understanding that when the quarterback hikes the ball, he's got three options. So every play, it's usually like you keep the line pretty tight.
That's why they call it the triple option?
I think so. So that when every play, he can either hand the ball off to the running back or the fullback. He can pitch out. Or he can run it himself. Is that right? And then in triple option, if they're actually going to pass, that's more of like a designed play that they're like, they'll still line up the same way as if they're showing the triple option, but then they pass out of it. That's my understanding. How close was I?
Strong analysis from Kenny Stevenson, ladies and gentlemen. So I think that's how I understand it. I think a lot of the time the dives up the middle are like called. In other words, they tell them like, give it to the guy up the middle, you know, so that happens most often, so that the defense starts to look in and then the outside starts to be, you know, if the defense takes one step inside, then Cal Poly's got the step on the outside to get it around the corner. And that's essentially their, you know, one of the options for a big play out of the triple option is that the sweep and getting the edge, and if Cal Poly can do that, then that's just as good as a 20 yard pass. If they can get the edge for multiple, you know, 15 or 20 yard carries down the field, and not only that, but it keeps the clock moving and really controls the ball along the way too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and I think you described it, you know, pretty well in terms of the quarterback needing to make those decisions along.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I think the reason why the service fraternities, geez, get some more sleep. The reason why the service academies,
do they have frats at Army? That would be funny.
I mean, this is a hot take, but isn't the Army just one big frat? Anyway, the reason why they run it is, you know, usually because they don't have the athletes to compete. And in order to compete with, like, because they're playing, you know, Division One schools. I think a reason why it works well for Cal Poly, yes, because there's a little bit of the aspect of like, because Cal Poly is a polytechnic school and has a little harder admission standards. But I feel like if you have some of the horses that they do, Mustangs, you like that analogy?
I like it. I like it.
Like they do with the quarterback. I mean, this quarterback, I know, I'm here for it. The quarterback we have now, I think, it works really well because you would run him in a traditional offense anyway. You would call a lot of plays for him to actually just run it himself. So you might as well give him options. Oh, man, I'm killing it right now.
And you mentioned the Navy, which I thought was pretty funny because somebody described the play that Jalen Hamler scored a couple of touchdowns on as the Navy counter. So it's the idea that you get everybody leaning one way and the quarterback takes one step and jabs goes the other way with a guy coming out. So so the Navy counter seemed to be a big play for the Mustangs. Jalen Hamler had two pretty easy touchdowns early in that game, you know, before he went out of the game. And I'll be interested to see whether and how that's something that they use, especially with teams overplaying the up the middle run, you know, moving forward too. Cal Poly's now 2-2 and 1-0 in the Big Sky, and Southern Utah is, you know, not a great team, but a conference win is a conference win. And moving forward, looking forward to playing this Montana State team this week, Kenny. I'm curious. You know, we know that Cal Poly is a fun place, but we want to do a bit that's or a segment that's a non football story of the week. And the non-football story of the week this week is something that came out actually a couple of weeks ago. It was that San Luis Obispo was ranked the number one best college town in California.
I saw this.
And if you think that, you know, hey, there's lots of college towns around the country. I've been to a number of them. Ann Arbor and Columbus, and I've been to, you know, all kinds of stores, Connecticut, all kinds of random places. But in California, most of the big schools are not in college towns. You know, Stanford's in Palo Alto, and Cal's in Berkeley. I guess Berkeley could be considered a college town, maybe. I would say probably, but like, you know, you think about like UCLA and USC, LA is not really a college town.
I mean, it's where I live though, so don't, let's not trash LA.
But, it's not a college town, man, right?
And it's definitely not a college. We're talking like millions of people. Yeah. I don't think if you have more than, you know, 100,000, I don't think you're really a college town.
So my question for you is like, who else would you think is even in the running for best college town in California? And then like what in your estimation, you've experienced SLO as a college town. What's the best part of SLO as a college town for you in your memories?
Well, I'll take the second part of your question first, because I can. I think the thing that makes a good college town, the reason why I thought SLO was a good college town, is just because of basically the town has to be kind of revolve around the college. Like everywhere you go in town, you have to see either like the logo or, you know, discounts for students. And then I think in addition, you have to be able to have like easy accessibility to restaurants and bars for the student body to be able to, student body and the town to be able to intermix, you know. When you go to like here in Los Angeles, you can be in many parts of LA and you will never see anything about UCLA or USC.
Right.
But you can't go anywhere in San Luis Obispo and not see Cal Poly, at least somewhere. In terms of where another place in California, I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. Can I say shit on this podcast?
Sure. Why not? Let's go.
I do think Santa Barbara is kind of a nice college town.
Yeah, I'd call it Goleta though. I would say really Santa Barbara. I'd say it's Goleta. Goleta. It's, you know, and it's, I know it's UC Santa Barbara, and some people joke that it's UC Goleta. I have two in mind, and I mentioned one of them being Berkeley.
Because I have another one too, but go ahead.
I think Berkeley and Davis are both kind of college towns to me. They kind of scream a lot like San Luis Obispo does, of like, you know, having that college town atmosphere. And I think it's one of the unique things about Cal Poly in California is that there's proximity to both the Bay and to Los Angeles on some level, and it's still a college town. So it kind of mixes all the best of those parts. And SLO's been getting a lot of awards and stuff over the past decade. Recognition, but there you go. Did you have a different one?
I mean, just because I like the city personally, but I mean, Sonoma, where Sonoma State is located. I mean, just to be able to go to Sonoma and drink wine, which I can't do anymore anyway. So, but when I could drink wine, that was a great place to visit.
This brings up our unofficial sponsor for the show. Good segue here. Our unofficial sponsor of the show is a hard seltzer company, right? Because that's what you like now. Kenny's a hard seltzer guy. So
I'll explain. So I very recently learned that I have several food allergies and sensitivities. Yeah. It's called being in your 40s, people, and I'm allergic to sulfites, which is in beer and wine, and I have a non-celiac wheat sensitivity.
It's not funny, man. I'm sorry.
No, it's whatever. It doesn't kill me. It's a wheat sensitivity. It just makes my head feel funny. It's really cool, guys. Anyway, so I can't drink any of those things. So I've recently, what I can drink is hard cider.
Kenny,
$75.
Kenny, the last thing I heard was Kenny. The last thing I heard was you can drink hard cider.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, the last thing I heard was the thing I can drink is hard cider. That's all I heard.
I meant to say hard seltzer. I can't drink some hard ciders, but hard seltzers. So I want to say, if you wanted to pay the $75 to tailgate at the Cal Poly game this weekend, and you want a nice hard seltzer to drink, I cannot recommend the Bon and Viv hard seltzer. Because, Owen, let me tell you, a lot of hard seltzers, it's a sugar-based alcohol. A lot of people think like, oh, White Claws are just vodka and cranberry juice. It's not. It's its own alcohol made from sugar, like rum. And Bon and Viv, a lot of the hard seltzers, like your White Claw or your the Trader Joe's version, or your Truly, which you can get at Costco. I'm just trying to get us as much hard seltzer money as possible.
It's rolling in. It's rolled. They're backing up the truck to the house right now.
I know, but a lot of hard seltzers, they add sugar, but Bon and Viv does not add sugar. There's no sugar added. And so they're really good. And I would recommend the Clementine and Hibiscus this weekend when you're getting ready for the Mustangs to take on the Bobcats.
Okay. Clementine and Hibiscus. I like it. And to be super clear, it's unofficial.
Yeah, they are not paying me to say this.
No. No, but maybe someday. Maybe someday they could.
Yeah, and if they do call and want us to stop saying it, then we would probably stop saying it. But for the time being, unofficially, drink that hard seltzer.
For sure. And as a former KCPR DJ,
yes.
You know, we also like music on this podcast. I know you're a fan. Of course, we're here with Kenny Stevenson. Not that I need to reset it. I guess if you wouldn't come in the middle of a podcast, right? If you're on the radio or something, I need to do a reset.
I don't know. But people still do that. Like I've stepped away from the podcast. So maybe do that. Sure,
yeah, but you've been on since the very... Okay, all right. Yeah, since the very beginning.
I don't know. It's someone sitting at home, like, folding their laundry or, you know, their... I don't know what you do, watching their kids and they stepped out of the room. I don't know. They put it on.
Yeah. So you were a KCPR DJ. You're a KCPR alum. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to do an unofficial Boo Boo record of the week. So Boo Boo's is, of course, you know, our place here in San Luis Obispo. Definitely not sponsoring us. Definitely not aware of this podcast at all.
Again, but if they want to, guys, we're here for you,
dude. Yeah, if you want to make it official, that's up to you. That's the ball's in your court, Boo Boo. But in the meantime, what's your record of the week this week, Kenny Stevenson?
Record of the week, folks. There is a woman out of LA here, and her name is Jamie Drake. She's a good friend. She's been down here in as long as I've been down here in LA doing comedy, which is longer than I would like to say, but it's around 15 years. She's been down here doing music. She self-produced her first album like over 10 years ago, but now she has a manager, and this is more of a studio album. It's called Jamie Drake, Everything Is Fine. If you buy the vinyl, which I did, she will sign it for you within the next like week. And it's great. You can find it on Spotify. If I could say what it's like kind of like eclectic folk music. She plays guitar, writes all the songs, I believe does a lot of the arrangements, but just a really, really good album in terms when there's a lack of kind of songwriting right now. Mm-hmm. God, I sound almost as smart about music as I do about football.
Here's my question to you about it. At what time during the day would it be most likely to appear on KCPR?
It was on KCPR. I don't know what the current schedule is.
I don't either, but like, hey, what
you can play whenever.
What would be the wheelhouse? Would it be 7 a.m.? Would it be noontime jams? Would it be...
Well, it gets a lot of play here in L.A. on KCRW, which is our NPR, like our local NPR station, during the day. I would say this would be, I'll tell you what, 5 o'clock is kickoff on Saturday,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yep, 5 o'clock.
I'm telling you, at like 3:15... You crack open a Bon and Viv, and then you put on track number 2 on this track. It's called Redwood Tree. And it'll be a nice sunny day in San Luis Obispo in October. You'll be having a really nice California afternoon.
Absolutely.
I'm making you that promise, and I don't make a lot of promises because I usually can't keep them.
That's Kenny Stevenson, absolutely. And and Kenny, you know, you can find Kenny. You guys, Kenny's been around, like he said, for a while. You can see his face on cool shows that you probably have watched. You've probably seen his face somewhere, whether it's on like Parks and Rec or Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I'll plug.
Oh, and now he's cut out again. Dang it. He'll come back. There he is. Hey, I can hear you now.
Yeah. I was there. I could hear you. A quick plug.
Yeah, go ahead and do it. Let's see if we can get a quick plug before this whole thing breaks. Go ahead.
Whoop.
No.
Whoop.
This is the best.
Record another.
Kenny, I cannot hear you right now. Can you? Are you walking between places again?
It's hilarious because I can hear you. No, I'm standing still. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Go. I literally did not move. I heard you the whole time.
Let's hear the plug.
I will be on the fourth episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, supposedly. I shot already, and it's supposedly going to be in there, but I don't know when it's going to air because Brooklyn Nine-Nine is not even on the air yet. So we'll probably do another show before then. I'll just keep plugging it, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've been on it before, and fantastic appearances. I definitely rewound it. I looked it up and found it. You can Google him. He's like on IMDb and everything.
I'm on the Internet Movie Database. I'm there. But no, you can, if you go to the, if we want something to listen to currently that it just dropped yesterday. It's the Improv for Humans podcast. It's on Earwolf.
And you did Rambo?
I am John and Rambo for like an hour and a half. It was a hard thing to kind of keep up. But you can hear me on the Sklar's doing like Nick Cage and
it's the best Nick Cage. Yeah, it's the best Cage that there is out there.
It's the best Cage outside of Nicolas Cage himself. Yes.
I know. I think it's actually better than Nick Cage's Nick Cage, honestly, at this point.
It might be, seriously. Maybe that's what I'll do the next show. Maybe I'll do like Nick Cage will pick the winner next week or something.
Yeah, dude, that would be amazing. And you know, we'd love to do that. Kenny, I really appreciate you coming on. Cal Poly plays Montana State at 5:30. Kenny, where can people follow you on social media?
Go to Kenny G. Stevenson on Twitter and Instagram. Can I make a prediction for the game?
Please. What's going to happen?
I feel like as long as the Hamlin is healthy, the game can be close. If they're going like tit for tat, to use a word, I think it might be close, but I am worried that it's going to be it might get a little out of hand. So I'll be a homer just because I'm a homer and say Cal Poly wins by like a touchdown. But if they lose by three touchdowns, that also would not surprise me.
There you go. Like a wide range. This is definitely this is that's a bold prediction. He's putting his stamp on it. It could be anywhere within 28 points.
It's no big deal. Just a really easy, simple prediction there.
And actually, you know what? Like, I think Cal Poly is still at that point in their season where none of that would surprise me. You know, they could beat anybody given the talent that they have. And also, Montana State's been really good this year. So we'll see what happens.
All right. I got to go to a meeting now.
Bye, Kenny.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. From Pittsburgh.